of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I think we should be encouraged this morning because our leafleting is having some effect, some negative but also some positive, because I had an email and Dorothy sent it as well, saying that somebody else had become a Christian as a result of it. So be encouraged, carry on. It's having good and positive effect out there. Not as perhaps as much as we'd like, but still, it's there. When I thought about this morning's service, I noticed in the reading that I'm going to read shortly, it's from Genesis chapter 1, the first five verses, and then from verse 14 to 19. How God created out of nothing. And what got me thinking was how some footballers can create something seemingly out of nothing. I was thinking particularly of Cristiano Ronaldo, who is probably one of the world's best footballers. And somehow he seems to have that ability, amongst others, to be able, out of nothing, to score a goal. And I know that we shouldn't really compare footballers with God, but In fact, we can't really, but God created out of nothing. You pinch me, Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And now jumping ahead to verse 14, and this is day 4. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Today we are celebrating the start of Advent, and it comes from the Latin word Adventus, which in itself is a translation of a Greek word, parousia, which is a special word for coming. Coming in the sense of like a special visitation. The first coming of Christ is prophesied, as Christine read, in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Today is also another special day. It's also St. Andrew's Day in Scotland. Andrew, of course, was the brother of Peter. And they heard someone calling him, "Come and follow me." And they left their nets and followed Jesus. I'll mention more about them later. The book of Genesis, as we know it, is from the Greek word Genesis, which means origin. Whilst the Hebrew word, somebody's phone going off, Bereshith means in the beginning. The law and the Bible is split into three ways. The law, the prophets, and the writings, which can be traced as far back as the New Testament in Luke 24. Verse 27. The first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch, which comes from the Greek, yet again, Pentateuchos, which just means five-volume book. The arrangement of the Old Testament in Christian Bibles is based on the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, which was written in 150 BC. Going back to our reading in verse 3, we see that God created light. We're not told whether it's a tiny dot of light and a brought a little angel. Like this. So this is my attempt at using light this morning. So it's a very small light, and I think it's meant to be an angel, but anyway. So we're not sure whether it's a small speck of light or a huge light that would completely blind us. We haven't seen what colour or colours it was, just that God spoke and out of nothing there was light. Then later in verses 14 to 19 we are told, as I read, that God created greater and lesser lights to rule the day. It's thought that the reason why the Bible describes them in that way and not simply sun, moon and stars is that at the time the pagans worshipped the sun, moon and stars as gods in themselves. So Moses, in his wisdom, or as God inspired him, he described them as being the greater and lesser lights. So that the world knew that he was talking about something different and not the sun god or the moon god. There are many different types of light, not just visible light. There are short waves, which include ultraviolet light rays, and others have long waves, including infrared light, radio waves, etc. Light is produced by friction, by fire, by numerous chemical reactions, as well as the nuclear reactions of atomic fission and fusion, which is what is thought to occur in the sun. So light doesn't automatically require the sun. There are different... some say that there is conflict between science and the Word of God. Well, that's often because we have held to some perhaps erroneous beliefs about the world around us and misinterpreted the Word of God. It's not written as a manual for evolution or how the world was made, but just the who. And I'm going to read to you from John. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, which you'll know very well. It's good sometimes just to let the word do the talking. Not that it lets me off the hook, but... You can see the similarities between this, the beginning of Genesis and the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from John, from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, in the world, and through the world was made by him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Later on, So here we go again in the beginning, back to Genesis. And the Greeks, they used the term word, not just for the spoken word, but for the unspoken word. The word that is in your mind, the reason. When they applied it to the universe, they meant the rational principle that governs all things. The Jews, on the other hand, used it as a term referring to God. So John was being meaningful to both Jews and Gentiles. This start to John's gospel has been described as a hymn-like celebration of the Word coming into the world. The text can be read in four parts. The eternal Word is the light and life of creation. That John the Baptist is witness to the light, and that the light comes into the world. And finally, the Word becomes flesh and lives amongst us. There's a story about a fish in a goldfish bowl and a little girl. The fish is called, I've forgotten, but it has big eyes. And it just swims round in circles. And the little girl decided to torment it. So she sticks a finger in the bowl and goes, and drove the fish dotty because it was became so dizzy. It swung round. And the little girl hated this fish, and she used to do it every day and torment it and torture it. And then one day, when the little girl wasn't around, the fish noticed something at the bottom of the goldfish bowl and swam towards it, and it was something gold and shiny. And it turned out to be a lamp. So the goldfish swam over it, and then this genie popped up and said, I'm your genie. I'll grant you a wish. So the fish said, well, I'll tell you what, I want to become that little girl for a day. So before you knew it, poof, the goldfish was the little girl, and the little girl became the goldfish. So he goes up to the fishbowl and he starts to stir around and thought, oh, this is good. And she became dizzy and wondered what on earth was going on. And but then after a while, he thought, no, this is no good. I think I'll be kind to the fish. So he started talking to her and stopped being cruel to her. And then the day after, it reverted back the other way. So the little girl came back to the fish and decided for the first time that instead of tormenting it, because she had experienced what he had experienced, that she wouldn't torment it anymore. So they started talking to each other and they became friends, which is a kind of a bit like what God has done for us. He came in our place so that he understood how we feel and gave his life for us. So I hope you don't mind that little story. So in the beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was God as well. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In other words, the darkness was scattered by the light. We can see that Jesus was there in the beginning. That's how he is described. For John, the beginning wasn't at Jesus' birth, as recorded in Matthew and Luke, or the start of Jesus' ministry, as in Mark. Instead, the beginning is outside the normal calculations of time. In the cosmic pre-existence of the Word of God, to put it in big words. The beginning focuses on the reader's attention immediately on the meaning of what follows the gospel story. It's about the very character of God and how God makes himself known to the world through the life and death of Jesus. We are talking in Advent about the incarnation of Christ, how God became human, fully human, and yet at the same time fully God. We have 4 weeks preparation before we celebrate the birth of Christ. By preparation, I don't mean cards, trees, turkeys, presents, booze and parties, which is often the way these days, isn't it? And it was sad to see so many people fighting just to get a bargain the other day. When I came to work on Friday, I was working in Lee, and I called at the Asda there in Lee at 7:45 in the morning. And I thought, what are all these cars doing there? It's usually empty. The place was full of cars, and there was a queue from right at the beginning of the store, right round the, all the way round the back. So I asked what all the queue was about, and they said, oh, they're all waiting for bargains. They're all waiting for electrical goods. They wouldn't let them in, even though the store was actually open. They wouldn't let them in until they were ready for them, until the staff had arrived, I think. But and then later we read on the news about how people were fighting and all the kerfuffle. That's not the way to celebrate Advent, is it? So by preparation, what I mean is being ready, as if he was coming again now. There's a German scholar called Meister Eckhart who once said, what good is it that Christ was born 2,000 years ago? Well, in his time it was last, it was in the 16th century, less. If he is not born now in your heart, he prayed, Lord, we do far too much celebrating your actual coming in our hearts. I believe in God, but do I believe in God in me? I believe in God in heaven, but do I believe in God on earth? I believe in God out there, but do I believe in God with us? Lord, be born in my heart, come alive in me this Christmas. Amen. And I think that attitude sums it up really well. So at the start of Advent, prepare yourself. Stop rushing about. Spend time alone with God, praying and listening to him. Read his word. Let his light shine in your hearts. Martin Luther looked forward to Advent. It was a time when it cheered him up, when he was suffering all kinds of problems. But it was a time when he looked forward to celebrating the birth of Christ. It is sometimes said that Christianity is cyclical. In other words, that we do the same things year after year. The danger is that we can become stuck. The story should be told again and again. But the story is directional. God does things in a direction and for a purpose. And what we need to do is to look back to make sure that we are moving in God's direction. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, I'm just going to read. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. St. Andrew's Day, which is celebrated today, and the Scottish Parliament voted in 2006 to celebrate it officially. This is the flag. The cross is upside down because Andrew was crucified like his brother upside down. Although it should be blue, the background. This is just a tray. But I thought it was a useful way. Today we can turn our lives upside down, like Andrew was crucified upside down. So I thought we could just spend a few minutes meditating on his word to us this morning, that we should wait on him. So let's just do that right now, shall we? Let's just spend a few moments thinking about his word to us, thinking about his light, thinking about how we're going to celebrate Advent and Christmas. Think about how his light came into your life. I know for me that I was in a dark place when God came and spoke to me. How did he speak to you? Lord, as we come before you this morning and we reflect how your light came into our lives as individuals, we just praise you and thank you that you have shone in our hearts, that we recognise you as the Son of God, that we recognise you as coming to save the whole world, not just a select few, but for the whole world, that you aren't willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you. Help us to celebrate Advent properly. Help us to set time aside to stop rushing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul.